Week one of the 2011 NFL football season is over, and I gotta say, I was just laid on the couch all weekend.
That's a nice position to be in.
Horizontal for like 30 hours watching NFL football. And the first week of the season, I don't think disappointed. I think there's a lot of surprises, but
as there is every year.
As there is every year. One thing that we didn't touch on last time that we probably should have, but we're going to touch on it now, and especially after the first weekend of NFL of the NFL season, is the new kickoff rule moved up to the 35-yard line from the 30.
Also, the rest of the team has to be 5 yards behind the kicker.
Right.
Behind the ball, I should say.
And this done in an effort to, for player safety.
Right.
What do you think? What do you think about it?
I don't like it. I think the kickoff is the most exciting play in football. And for certain teams, and this is where I'm partial, like the Browns, it's a weapon that you're not able to use on a consistent basis when you take that out. What my wife Christy mentioned, she says that she thinks there might be more injuries because players are going to be even trying harder to return one once they get one.
Well, and you know what? At the end of the day, there's going to be more touchbacks this year. Mm-hmm. We know that, but. The one thing I noticed watching the few games and highlights that I saw was that it's like the first kickoff or two that goes to the, 107 or 108, mm-hmm. quote unquote,
right.
yard line, which is 8 yards deep in the end zone. They'll kneel it or whatever. But then as the game goes on, they start bringing it out.
Right.
And so they're not, the players are still, like your wife said, injury prone.
Right.
One interesting comment that I heard from Solomon Wilcots, who was broadcasting on CBS the Browns Bengals game, was he said, it doesn't matter if it's a touchback. The first line of players, they're the ones with the contact. They're still contacting each other.
That's true. Yeah.
So I think it's interesting. About that. The other thing that it's kind of changing a dynamic in the game that I don't think the NFL or coaches thought about. And for example, I don't think they thought anyone would bring them out being 107, 108, 109 yards. But on two in a row for the Bengals, Brandon Tate brought both of them back from, mm-hmm. 9 yards deep in the end zone and got to the 7 yard line consecutively.
Right. Cribs did a couple times too.
And
one of them for a really good game.
Yeah, and he was more successful.
And there were a couple of returns in other games. Ted Ginn Jr.
Yeah.
And there's one, I think, for the Chargers, maybe.
Yep, the opening kickoff. Yeah.
Yeah, where
Sidney
where
Rice.
They were deep into their end zone.
Yeah,
Sidney
Rice for the Vikings.
Out.
So, I don't know if it's. I think Bill Belichick said it best. He goes. They just want to eliminate the play. If you're
right.
gonna, bastardize the play, then get rid of it.
Right.
I mean, that's just why even have it. There's no action, And like you said, I mean, hopefully teams aren't building their team around, that play.
Right.
But that is a play. How many times have you seen a kickoff return win the game or a punt
right.
return? Obviously the punt returns haven't been affected, but.
I think it's a huge factor for a lot of teams, and when we get to the Bengals-Browns recap, we'll talk about it more, but in that game, field position was a huge factor in that game,
right.
especially early. But I will say this, I think you were kind of leading to this earlier, but didn't quite finish your thought, when we get later into the season, it will be less of a factor, because as the weather starts to turn, especially in these outdoor stadiums, those balls aren't going to be like through the uprights on kickoffs. Balls are going to be a little shorter, and you're going to get some opportunities, more opportunities.
Yeah,
to
you
return.
Are, and on the flip side of that though too, if a ball does happen to go in the end zone on a rainy day,
right,
you're not coming out.
That's true,
or a snowy day,
right.
But both points I think are absolutely 100% valid. I just hate. It's kind of like the NFL with all the rules regarding like the head, right. the head stuff. And I know,
I just don't know
I
how
understand.
Much of a difference it's going to make in the end.
I don't.
Injuries this year, it'd be interesting. Someone's going to do a study on this, but injuries on kickoffs this year versus last year.
Right. You know, and I mean, I just think, you know, to me, we've talked about this last year. To me, instead of changing the rules of the game, why don't you take some of the $9 billion that the league and the PA splits and develop better equipment?
Right.
You know, you're still playing with, you know, yes, equipment is getting better, but it hasn't progressed as quickly as players' strength and speed.
Absolutely. Right.
So, you know,
I agree with that 100%.
You know, get me a, you know, better helmet and better shoulder pads, you know, make require the players to wear thigh pads. You know, I was shocked if you look and see how many players don't wear like pads below the waist.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And some of the pads that the quarterbacks wear, I mean, it's ridiculous how thin and little the pads on their shoulders are for quarterbacks. Like, I was watching the game Thursday, the Green Bay game, and Aaron Rodgers' shoulder pads, and that's that guy runs. I mean, he runs just about as much
shots.
As Michael Vick does,
right?
And you know, and his shoulder pads are about a half inch thick, and
I don't know. And overall, I don't like the rule. I think you're taking away from the game to err on safety, and I understand that. But what has made the game great is a kickoff return. You know, the hits, you know, so they've made a ton of money off of that. And now they want to take the money and go home and cancel the play. I totally do not like it.
I think they'll revisit it next year. I expect them to make an adjustment of some sort, whether that's back to the 30 or what, I don't know.
Yeah. And closing out this point, did you notice in all of the games that I watched, every time the ball went out of the back of the end zone on a kickoff or they had to kneel it, the fans booed.
Yep.
So yep. I think I'm with you. I think next year we'll see a different kickoff line. Well, obviously the biggest game of the weekend was the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland.
A tight matchup.
I just have one thing to say.
Did you get that out of your system?
I hurt my throat.
Good.
You picked the Browns to win. I picked the Bengals to win.
Right.
You know, we talked about it last time. Bengals fans believe that's a game they should win. Browns fans believe that's a game they should win against the Bengals.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. You know, I was shocked coming out, you know, to a 13-point lead for the Bengals. I was not shocked to see them promptly give it away and struggle in the middle two quarters. And I was surprised to see them, you know, fight through adversity, come back. I really liked Andy Dalton. I thought he was really pretty awesome, considering.
Right.
And the defense did what the defense is going to have to do if they're going to win any games, and that's stop people and keep it low and just to hope for the offense to click and get there. And then, obviously, Cedric Benson, I mean, you know, the stats are stupid when he runs the ball 25 times in Marvin Lewis. Not him, but Marvin Lewis's career. If a running back touches the ball 25 times in a game, it's, you know, he's, I don't know what the stat is.
Right.
Staggering. It's, you know, 40-1 or something stupid. So I am happy about the victory. A lot of things to work on, you know, but
you'll take it.
Yeah, right. I mean, what can I say? You know,
this one for me, it's games like this sting a little because you have a beatable team.
Well, and you're supposed to beat the Bengals, yeah.
Yeah, and you're supposed to beat the Bengals as a Browns fan. So it hurts a little more because, especially when it was close like this and there was, you know, actually it ended up being just one play that was the difference. But, you know, so it hurts. But, you know, we talked about this last week about teams that are going to benefit or not benefit from the lockout. I think we saw it here with the Browns. I think, you know, Colt McCoy struggled. He didn't look like he was comfortable a lot of times. He made about three or four good throws, and all the other ones were, you know, nothing special.
Yeah.
And the coaching was lacking in a lot of places. the play I want to talk about specifically was the third down and what, eight or so.
Mm-hmm.
Bengals have the ball.
The touchdown.
The touchdown, right.
Hopefully,
Coach Shurmur after the game. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard this.
Hopefully, you're not sharing his same.
But he,
sentiment.
You know, it was a little weak sauce, if you ask me. His his response to that, you know, it's his responsibility. And yes, the soundbite that you'll hear him say is what you'll take from it. What the headlines are is that he's blaming, you know, that he's placing the blame on the refs and not taking responsibility. It wasn't all that. But he did.
Well, I didn't
he
even
did
understand what he was saying. What
he was saying is that he thought, and he said he would have to look at the film to confirm it, but that they were allowed time once the Bengals made a substitution to have their own substitution before the ball is hiked, before the ball is live. So, and then I read articles today, and that there is a rule that says that there it is an NFL rule. However, the NFL has since came out and said that they had plenty of time, and it was, you know,
okay,
that it was not an officiating error.
That's,
I would have liked to seen Shurmur take more responsibility because
call
at the end, it's a time you call a timeout, you get your guys grouped,
and then I mean, and then you got to take a look at the players on the field.
Right.
You know, at some point you got to. You know, look at you,
right.
You got to pay. Look, the whole game of football is based on what the offense is doing, correct?
Right.
You know, either
mm-hmm.
whether it's adjustments or, but
or
the
substitutions
whole,
or formations.
But
or,
the
yeah.
whole game is based on when yeah. the offense snaps.
And you have 125 coaches on this sideline. I mean, enough to trip over a ref
I'm
and get
you.
A penalty for
I,
it.
That's so. The only place I saw that was him because I had looked elsewhere for, you know, to
right.
see what did the Bengals cheat or did the refs miss something or whatever. And I didn't find anything, and I kind of just was – I wish he would have said, you know what, that's just a play that I wish we would have had back. We could have done, you know, three things there.
Right.
And the other thing about it, too, that's how the Bengals went to the Super Bowl in 98 – or, I'm sorry, in 1988. It was quick snaps, catching people mm-hmm. off guard, and, you know – I don't feel bad about it.
Right.
I know Bill Parcells hates it because Bill Parcells thinks any trick plays or trickery, you know, flea flickers should be banned and, you know,
well,
crap
it's,
like
it's,
that. But
it's football is a chess game, and if you have an advantage like that, you got to take it. The Bengals deserve to win. The Browns are young, talented team. They've got a lot of talent. I was very happy with play of Joe Hayden, the defensive
yeah.
line, the rookies. I thought they both played well.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with you on the defensive line play. I think they played okay, but they still gave up said Benson.
Yeah.
You know, 100,
I thought their pass pressure,
20,
their
25 yards.
Pressure pass rush was good. They did give up a lot of on the run, but the Browns, I mean, they've done that for
yeah.
years, and they
well,
still
and
need to shore that
it
up.
It is a new defensive scheme.
Right. So I was encouraged by a lot of things, but,
I'll tell you what concerns me about the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Is Colt McCoy. And as much as I think Colt McCoy could be great, when it came down, I mean, look, you know, they were dominating the game, and the Bengals, you want to call it trickery, a great sense of catching someone off guard or a fluke play or whatever. I'm cool with that. I don't have any problem with that. But they were still only down by three,
mm-hmm.
and you know, at the end of the game, or it might have been the fourth down that actually ended up setting up Cedric Benson's run. I can't remember the timeline, but you know, I think it was a fourth down play, and he, you know, we got pressure on him. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
what we're built to do this year, and he folded
right.
and threw it to the center.
Right.
And you know, as composed as he looks when things are going well, when things start to kind of fall apart, he falls apart too, it seems.
Well, I'll need to see a bigger sample size before I make a judgment on him at this point. He started four or five games last year, and this is the first game this season with the new offense, so I'm going to need to see a little more before I
yeah.
judge him. I do like his potential. He did struggle. He had a bad game, and that's...
I would have just liked him to...
The Browns just need to find a way to win games, and they don't know how to do that yet.
Yeah.
They don't know how to finish games, and they,
yeah.
you know... And that's main story of this one. And you can't, gosh, how many penalties did the Browns have? That was the other
issue. They had like nine in the first quarter.
So,
but I think they only ended up with 11 for the game, I think. But the Bengals only had three and right. no turnovers. You know, right. the Browns had one.
So it's just, you know, the coaching, it's not there yet. It's not yeah. a finished product. And especially with McCoy, I'm going to need to see a few more games before I'm yeah. able to make a determination on him.
And, but they got to figure out something, too. I mean, Peyton Hillis, it's obvious when that's not working, it's not working. Mm-hmm. 17 rushes, 57 yards. One of them was for 17 yards. You take that out, it's 16 rushes for 40 yards. People are going to make Colt McCoy beat him. And that's kind of what mm-hmm. I'm talking about. Colt but McCoy needs to understand that, like, this is Colt McCoy's football team. Mm-hmm. He's at some point.
I think a lot of credit has to be given to the Bengals' defensive line in the secondary
in
this game because, you know, it's preseason. But in the preseason, you saw McCoy distributing the ball a lot
yeah.
to the receivers down the field. And then in the game Sunday, he was checking down to his backs. He was yeah. he was hitting tight ends. And he wasn't using the receivers.
Right.
You know, and
that's coverage. I mean, that's right. it's probably coverage. I mean, you know, Leon Hall is a great cover. Nate Clemens has been doing it since 1962.
Mm-hmm. you know, and until the end of the game, McCoy did everything not to hurt the team. You know, he didn't make the bad mistake. He didn't fumble the ball.
He didn't, but I, you know, I'm going to
do... Well, he did fumble, but he recovered.
I got to take it to task. I don't like that saying. I'm not saying anything about Colt McCoy or Andy Dalton or, but I, you know, I don't like that. He, you know, just don't lose us the game. No, go out and win the game.
Well,
you know?
What I'm saying is he didn't make the mistake. I want him to win the game, but he didn't make mistakes that would lose them the game.
No, he didn't. But when it was time for a leader, and it's not necessarily McCoy, but as a quarterback, mm-hmm. you it defaults to you, unfortunately. And yeah. I just wish I would have seen. Well, no, not really, because we probably would have lost.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to have seen a young quarterback who played a fair amount last year. It's obviously his team,
right?
Own it, you know. Yep. Step up and say, you know, I'm doing
and
this.
I think
and
he will.
Might not work
I think
out.
He will.
And hopefully he does.
But I, you know, I from the Bengals, I liked the way Andy Dalton looked. You know, I surprised the hell out of me that he was able to competently run the offense as well as he did.
Yeah.
Not that I thought he was going to slip on the banana peel, but you know, he did for a while. He was shut down in the middle when the defense adjusted, but at the beginning of the game, he looked more poised than McCoy did out there.
Yeah, well, and credit to the offensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, from an
that's
offensive
the other
line,
thing. The Browns' offensive line was tore up with injuries and did not yeah. perform well.
Well, and the Bengals' offensive line for a group that got absolutely just ridiculed last year for yeah. being horrible and everything. They kept him fairly clean. You know, he was able to do his thing, and that's what it's going to take. The offensive line's kind of going to be the leader, you know,
yeah.
until Andy Dalton can put some big boy pants on and go run it, you know. But I was impressed with him.
Are you changing your season outlook for the Bengals at this point, or do
no,
you still think?
No.
I don't either.
I don't know. I can't remember what I actually chose them to win at mm-hmm. four, five, six games or something, which
yeah.
everyone would say five or six, you're crazy. But, you know, after yesterday, that could be those are the types of games that Carson Palmer, Chad Ochocinco, and Terrell Owens were losing last year.
Right.
You know, those
right.
close games to teams that we should have beaten.
Right.
You know, the Browns, the Buccaneers early in the season weren't anything, and we were in control of that game. So it was kind of nice to see a really young group play as a team. And then, you know, fight.
And then finish the game.
Yeah, and I
win
mean.
Win it and then finish it.
Yeah, and it looked bleak in the middle quarters. I mean, it was like, okay, well, as a Bengals fan, well, had a nice lead for a quarter. That was great. And
right.
then we're just going to lose, and that's fine. That's what we expect. And they stepped up. So this, and the schedule sets up very nicely. At Denver next weekend, and then I think it's San Francisco here, and Buffalo here, and Jaguars, and the Titans, and
right.
the Peyton Manningless Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anything's going to come of it, but you know the schedule was very nice the first half of the year,
right?
But
Browns are too, which is what's frustrating about not getting this first W.
Yeah.
Browns opening day have not been good. There's some kind of stigma with playing at the lake, and those
yeah.
fans, those boo birds come out early there, and there's
yeah.
a lot of pressure. So Browns have not been good on opening day since they came back. So that's another issue.
Is it too early to say there's always next year?
Yes, it is too early for that. I still believe in this team. They're not going to make the playoffs or anything. I still think they're going to finish a couple, two games below 500, but that's an improvement, maybe one game behind under 500. I'd still have hope for the year.
Well, it was another battle of Ohio. Not a disappointment, I don't think. And as far as the game, I mean, you're disappointed in the results. I enjoyed the game.
It was a sloppy game.
I enjoyed the adjustments the Cleveland Browns made, and then the adjustments that the Bengals offense actually made, to come back with that. And so, Battle of Ohio is always awesome, just because it's the Battle of Ohio. And I don't think this one, they never disappoint, in my opinion.
I'm going to shock you, Sean, with my opinion on our next topic.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with Bengals upper management.
Whoa.
On the handling of the Carson Palmer situation. To me, if a... Does that shock you?
Well, the topic of Carson Palmer is slightly shocking. And the fact that you want to talk about it. So, it is shocking. So continue, please.
Yeah. This is the first time and probably only time I'll ever agree with Mike Brown and his handling of anything. Considering I am a Hamilton County taxpayer, I feel I am I'm educated on this topic. But I think Mike Brown is handling this situation well, because you have a player in Carson Palmer who demands to be traded. He's under contract.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, he should not be rewarded for not honoring a contract. And, now, should the Bengals trade him? Probably. But just because the value for what they could get, and I don't know, now it might not be there, but before the season, the value that they could get for him was probably higher than it's worth to have this charade.
I'm going to shock you now.
And disagree with
and
management.
And completely disagree with you and management. This problem is not caused by Carson Palmer or players or Marvin Lewis or anybody. It's caused by one person, and that's Mike Brown. You don't see people demanding trades, giving up $50 million and demanding trades to leave the Steelers or to leave the Patriots or to leave the... Yeah, you have disgruntled players that want money and they're not going to get it, whatever. This is obviously something that is way deeper than money and playing time and the things that most players want to leave teams for. If Mike Brown would have done what he should have done since the day he inherited the team, Carson Palmer is playing quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals right now. And the Cincinnati Bengals have a couple of championships, or have at least been to the Super Bowl a few times. Create an environment where people give their blood, sweat, and tears, and give 150%, 100% of the time. And
I agree with everything you're saying. I don't think that's the bottom line issue here, though.
Okay, but here's... Okay, let me finish my point, and then I'm going to grill you on something else. The thing about it is Mike Brown could make the decision right now. I'm not necessarily saying he should trade Carson, or I'm saying he needs to change his philosophy, and we're not even talking about this. If Mike Brown woke up this morning and was like, you know what, I want to win Super Bowls. I don't care how much it's going to cost me. I don't care about any of that. I'm going to trade Carson Palmer for as much as I can get, which I think he could get a decent amount.
Mm-hmm.
And then build the team like Robert Kraft built the Patriots. Okay, the Patriots sucked. They were a joke. You know what I mean? Okay, so they limped into one playoff, like, jokingly. I mean, they shouldn't even... Or Super Bowl, I'm sorry, back in 1985.
Right, and got killed.
And got absolutely murdered. But then he took over the team and built it. You know, Mike Brown could have done that. And I don't want to hear small market. I don't want to hear... Green Bay just won the Super Bowl, smallest market in the NFL. I don't care about any of that crap. Pittsburgh Steelers, small market.
Yep.
Indianapolis, small market. You see where I'm going.
Right.
So
in the NFL, small market is not an argument. With salary cap, not with free agency.
I think I would have rather have seen him just, especially after they got Andy Dalton. You know, okay, we got the quarterback for the future.
Right.
You know, obviously the team, from everything I've read from the coach to the players, that this team is just brothers. It's a unit. It's never been a unit, a team, since the day Marvin Lewis took over. As much as he's tried, you had Chad Ochocinco. Love Chad Ochocinco. I appreciate everything he's done for Cincinnati. He brought a lot of positive attention, a little bit of negative, but, you know.
He wasn't a criminal. He wasn't a...
No, some bad goes with the good.
Yeah.
And but he, and then specifically Terrell Owens last year, you know, could polarize.
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous, dangerous thing for an NFL team.
Terrell Owens has destroyed every locker room he's been in.
But what I was saying is after you
and he's still trying.
Yeah. After you get Andy Dalton... Trade Carson Palmer. You got your quarterback of the future. Maybe maybe you finished 0-16. You draft Andrew Luck next year. Fine. Move on. He doesn't. I don't understand why Mike Brown would want to pay some guy $11.5 million that does not want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't pay you a dollar to do something you don't want to do for me.
Right.
I wouldn't pay you 50 cents. I mean, to me, it's like if you don't want to be here, get the hell out. If that's what you want, if you want to quit. And I love Carson Palmer. You know this. Carson Palmer is my favorite Bengal of all time. I still have his jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Still going to bust it out every once in a while. I don't wear it this year. But if you want to quit, then quit. You know, then I don't want you here. And I'm going to sell you for as much as I can get for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I
understand. I understand Carson Palmer not wanting to be in the organization because, as you pointed out, it's been a mess. You know, for a while, and he doesn't want to be a part of that. The point is, he's under contract, and he's a quitter, and so quitters shouldn't be rewarded.
Okay.
It's like a crying baby, getting everything they want.
This is where I'm turning the grill on.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready for the heat, baby. Throw some steaks on.
You're taking the same, you're agreeing with Mike Brown. You appreciate, and there's a part of me that appreciates that too. Old school business guy. Handshake, contract,
right.
We honor it. Okay? Then how come he traded Chad Johnson?
Well, how come he traded Chad Johnson? He did it on his terms. He didn't do it when Chad Johnson wanted it done.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there was a contract to be honored. Mm-hmm. Chad Johnson didn't walk out on his contract.
Right.
You know, so Mike Brown just did to Chad Ochocinco what he's complaining about Carson Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the contracts aren't one-sided.
To me, trading someone isn't quitting like Carson Palmer wants
to do.
No.
But,
you know?
But he's complaining that we have a contract. Carson Palmer needs to honor the contract. Well, Chad Ochocinco signed a contract with Mike Brown to play for the Bengals through this year.
Right.
And Mike Brown, yeah, he traded him, neither quit, neither got cut, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he still did what was best for Mike Brown and broke a contract between him and the player.
Right.
You know, whether it's a trade or a cut or, you know, whatever.
Listen, the best thing that Mike Brown could do for the Bengals would be to trade Carson Palmer. But
yes.
I think the philosophy behind his decision is what I agree with. With the business side of it, I don't agree with.
Well, I would agree with it 100% if they didn't cut and trade players whenever they felt like it.
Right.
You know, they do owners.
Well, that's the kind of dichotomy that exists in the NFL.
You know, it is, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But don't complain about a player that wants to be traded.
Right.
That's kind of like, well, you know, Mike, I agree with you 100%. I see what you're saying, and you can't have Bill Parcells said it today. You can't have players demanding trades and there will just be a line out the door. But if you're going to bring that to the table, we have a contract and I'm old school and this and that, then you better be living it on all sides, not just when you're getting stung. You know what I mean? You know, because let's face it, Chad Johnson, Mike Brown, by trading him to the Patriots, might have ended Chad Johnson's career. I hope Chad Johnson, Ochocinco, whatever you want to call him, I hope he goes on and has a great career.
Yeah.
But he had it made here. He could do whatever he wanted. He knew the playbook.
But
he's having a tough time in New England.
Right. But that could be good for him at the same time.
I hope it is. I hope.
Whipping him into shape. Because when you hear a lot about people that go to New England, and so people that go to Pittsburgh are the same way. People that go to Green Bay are the same way. And basically, it's anybody that's got a good organization. usually the way it's run is different than where they've been, and they have to shape up or they're not going to be there.
Yeah. I don't know. I appreciate you.
It'll be interesting to see how Chad Johnson reacts to that environment.
I appreciate your stance on Mike Brown's philosophy, and there is a part of me that agrees.
Right.
However, I think Mike Brown needs to sleep in the bed that he's made, and he made this one, you know, and he's kind of the pot calling the kettle black a little bit. And
I'm with you too. If I was the Bengals, if I were the players on the Bengals team, there's no way in hell I would want Carson Palmer back on that team.
No,
if
and you're going to quit, they do. Yeah.
And that's they probably don't. You're probably right. Which I guess they should trade him at that point.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen? I don't even know how to end this segment.
Well, what is going to happen next? What is the next move? You know, I thought Palmer was going to show up.
I did too.
At camp and force Mike Brown's hand, and that didn't happen. So
he should have. He's either going to make 11.5 as a backup, or he's going to have to
cut him.
And they're not going to cut him.
Yeah.
You know, but he would probably be traded or wear a visor and a clipboard for the season and make, you know, $12 million. So it remains to be seen, a topic that's probably not going to go away anytime soon. And
we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, it is what it is. All right, week 2 in the NFL season is upon us. And it's time for some pick 'em.
Yeah. Last week I went 3-0 and you went 2-1.
I think you rigged it. Because you didn't notice how Brandon does not bring the pick 'em sheet for last week. So I don't even remember who my picks were, but miraculously I'm down one.
Well, we agreed on all but one game, and that was the Ravens Steelers game.
Okay. So we've changed it up this time because it's pretty boring when we have 4 or 5 games and we all pick the same game and everyone's going to win or lose together. And, you know, so nothing's really on the line. So this time we actually decided on a few games that we kind of differ on. And first game, Tampa Bay at Minnesota. I am going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which is risky.
Right.
But Tampa's defense is pretty good, and they ran into a on-fire Lions team this past weekend that's probably going to shock a lot of people. I think Tampa's going to bounce back. I do not like Donovan McNabb in Minnesota, especially what he did this past week with only 39 passing yards. It makes you want to puke. I got Tampa.
I've got Minnesota on this one. It's taking a little bit of a flyer here. Just a gut feeling that I think they'll get back on track this week. Donovan McNabb is going to have more than 39 yards passing. I think we can go out on a limb. Unless he gets hurt, he'll have more than 39 yards passing in this game.
Actually, the best chance that Minnesota might have is if Donovan McNabb gets hurt.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Just direct snap at the Adrian.
That's true.
Peterson.
But if you remember a few years ago when McNabb was struggling with the Eagles. I wish I could remember what game it was, but he had a terrible game, and then the next week, Thanksgiving, he came back and had a career day, 5 touchdowns, and the Eagles rolled. So
a little too late for McNabb. He's a little too old. No
but
way.
That's what I'm going with, just a gut feeling on this one. I think Adrian Peterson will have a better game. He did have 100 yards, or close to 100 yards, 96 or something, but yeah. But I think he'll have a bigger game, and you know, I think San Diego they played pretty well against San Diego. They almost won. San Diego ended up kind of coming out of their funk or whatever happened to them at the beginning of the game, and which they always do at the beginning of the season. But I think that Minnesota showed a little bit in that game, and I think they'll get the W.
Cleveland at Indianapolis. Who you got?
I got the Brownies. I got the Brownies because I just think they'll rebound. They've got to get better on their penalties. Their offensive line's got to get shored up. But Indianapolis, man, I mean, Houston was on the bus at halftime. They didn't score another point after halftime and still beat them 34-7. Houston's a lot better team than Cleveland, but I think indoors, I think McCoy will distribute the ball better around, and I think They'll get the W.
I'm going Indianapolis Colts. The Brownies, let's be honest, Indianapolis might have a tough time beating the Browns, but the Browns mm-hmm. don't have a tough time beating the Browns.
Right.
And I
the
think
Browns that, beat themselves you know, enough as
the,
it is.
The Cleveland Browns are not only playing the Colts, they're playing the Cleveland Browns as well.
Yeah.
And I think Kerry Collins, it's another week in the system. I think they're going to step up a little bit. I read some things about that the Colts didn't look as bad as you thought it was if you'd seen the game. I don't know. I haven't even seen it.
Well, it's not just Kerry Collins. It's the defense. Special teams were all
well, I mean,
poor
and
as
I
too,
think,
and that's not Peyton Manning.
No,
you know?
I think that's going to – but I think it's going to get – I think it's going to get corrected. Cleveland doesn't have the high-powered offense that Houston has.
Mm-mm.
And I like Dwight Freeney at home. I think Indy's going for it. I got it. I got Indy on this.
All right.
Who's the Philly at Atlanta?
This one will be a game
Michael
of the week,
Vick
probably.
Michael Vick returns to Atlanta for the first time since the dog murdering scam.
Mm-hmm.
That was harsh. I apologize. He's repented
yeah,
his
on.
Sins.
He's done his time.
He has. He has. I'm glad he's back in the NFL. I'm going Philly.
I'm going to go Atlanta.
I think, and you could probably go both ways on this.
Yeah.
I think Atlanta has a really good shot at winning this game. However, it is quite concerning what happened in Chicago this past weekend.
Yep.
In my opinion, Chicago is not very good, but maybe they are really good, and maybe it's just a fluke. As high-powered, quote-unquote, as everyone says that the Atlanta Falcons are, 6 points doesn't really get it done. I kind of like Michael Vick coming back to the Dome. To some cheers. I don't know if he's going to be booed. I think
interesting.
I think it's going to be a more of a welcome back magical thing.
Because they've moved on, you know. There's no
I think,
hard feelings left anymore.
So I like Michael Vick in a do you believe in miracles type of situation.
I think we were a little too quick to judge the Bears before the season started. If you remember last year, the Bears, all year, people were saying, oh, the Bears are terrible. And then they make the playoffs, and then they go to the championship game. So maybe, you know, they did get lucky and face Seattle, but still they made the playoffs and the championship game. So I think Atlanta ran into that a little bit last week. I think they'll rebound. I still believe in Matt Ryan and this offense this year with those rookie receivers. Julio Jones only will get better with each game, and I just something tells me that they'll be able to win at home against their old Vicky boy.
Okay, I got Tampa, Indy, and Philly. You got Minnesota, Cleveland, and Atlanta. We'll see how it turns
Lock
out.
Lock it in.
As always, backyardfootballtalk@gmail.com to questions, comments, nude photos if you're female. And,
criticisms.
And
if anyone wants
no
to be on the podcast and you're
no criticisms.
Famous,
no
then
criticisms.
Give us a call.
No criticisms unless it's about Brandon. My feelings would get hurt. Hopefully we'll have Lindsay next time. I think we will. We worked out a schedule. And so, backyardfootballtalk@gmail.com. We will see you next week. Happy footballing.